Welcome to Emotionally Unavailable,
a wine-influenced, uncensored podcast
where you're free to be you and I'm free to be me.
Emotionally. Views are our own and do not reflect those of our employers. Things said on this podcast are subject to change based on new and relevant information.
You know what that's called? Growth.
Hit me with your eyes. I never seen that kind of view.
Let me get my shit off. This is dedicated.
She said, I got something to say. The South got something to say.
Because if something is on my chest, I gotta get it off me.
I can't.
Okay, it's not even noon, and you done had two niggas on your line.
Okay, but here's the thing. It's like, people just need to share information, so I just feel as though that's what phone calls are for,
girl,
right?
If I knew that you like phone calls like that, I'd be calling you more.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, I was going to talk to you about that. I think we should talk on the phone more.
I didn't know. Okay. Well, there we go. Now I know, because I call other people, and I'd be on the phone with them just chit-chatting it up, and I'd be like, why do I text Toby? So... But then I was like, I mean, I guess because we started as pen pals, I was like.
Right, and just continue. We're just in a groove. Well, I'm switching up the groove.
Okay, so yeah, we're going to call each other. We're going to talk on the phone more and listen to each other's voices.
I liked it.
You know what? I like growth. But yeah, I had to get this off my chest because I'm like, dang, it's not even noon and you done had two people call your line, dang. Two people with deep voices, y'all, like testosterone.
Listen, it's not even like that, y'all. I'm single and not mingling.
First of all, teach me the game, ghost. Anyway, so happy new year. It's been a long time since we recorded. I think, October.
Yeah.
Maybe. Y'all, life be lifing.
Like big lifing.
Big lifing.
I mean, when you popping. That's what happens.
You know, but we're here. We're actually together in the same space to bring in the new year. It is, the first week of the new year, and we're together. We're recording live in Atlanta, Georgia, and I'm thankful for that, for sure. So, with that being said, if you're new to the show, welcome. This is an episode of Emotionally Unavailable, where we are a community of women who just trying to thrive and grow and get this money. Well, half of us, because I'm a capitalist and Toby is not a capitalist, so she doesn't believe in getting money. She believes
I do not believe in labor.
Yeah, she does not
for shareholders
be perceived. Okay, so do not even perceive her. But okay, so I think since it's been a long time, before we get into the nitty gritty, maybe we should do some catching up. So,
yeah.
How you been? What's been new?
So, I've been good. I've been working for the capitalists, but trying to, you know, give their money to the right people. So, I guess I'm doing the work of the people, some would say.
She's trying to redistribute the wealth.
I am. That is my goal in life, to redistribute wealth.
That is her job.
Yes.
She actually gets paid to tell big corporations how to redistribute their wealth into the philanthropic realm.
Correct.
Okay.
So that's what I've been doing. That's what I've been up to. And I just feel as though I shouldn't have to convince people to redistribute wealth, but here we are. So... no, but it's been good. I don't like this winter weather. I'm not going to lie to you. Mm. It's not my favorite thing in the world. So I would like for it to be summer again.
Very much so. I totally resonate with that. I'm like, baby, if I wanted to be frosty, I would have moved to Antarctica.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Just make it easy for the people.
Exactly. Like, no, not a fan. So, you know, the one thing that's top of mind for me is Elmo being black.
Balsamic vinegar.
Sounding like he had the black puffer and the beef and broccolis on.
I cannot.
But, okay, so what's been going on with me? I loved, I lost, I st- started some shit. I ended it. That's so vague. I girl boss too close to the sun. So I was doing two programs at the same time. I had a fellowship for inclusive product management. And then I was also doing a level up program with the Black Product Managers Network. And both successfully came to a close at the end of the year. And next week I start product school. So clearly I didn't learn the first time and I'm doing the most. But I'm learning, I'm growing, really been leaning on and leaning into career and just growing my skills and knowledge in the field. Outside of that, you know, I hired a trainer, I hired a nutritionist, I hired a whole team because your girl's getting fit.
Period. Leveling up.
I just want to lead a healthier lifestyle that's really not rooted in vanity, but more so rooted in just health and wellness. And if you've ever, like, read the book, The Body Takes Score, like...
That sounds deep.
It is a really, really good book, and maybe I'll go into detail one day about it. But it really just changed my whole, like, thought process on how I treat my body and what I feed my body. And just there's just so much that growing up I wasn't taught because of, like, the generational relationship to food due to access, right? Mm-hmm. So now that I am in a position where I can afford to do certain things and get certain things, investing in re-educating myself on proper nutrition so that I can feed my body what it needs. And as a result, my body can take care of me because the body truly does keep score, right? And so I'm practicing intuitive eating. So not necessarily a diet because diet is very restrictive, but looking at food in a different way where, like, 80% of the time I'm doing what I need to be doing to make room for the 20% of the time when I want to, you know, have some chocolate cake. Because, girl.
It'd be tasting good.
It'd be good. So, yeah, there's that. So,
I like that.
That's, like, really top of mind for me. And, like I said, it's not about vanity. It's just about, like, leading a healthier lifestyle. Because when I feel great, I'm able to pour into the things that give me joy, and that's important to me right now, is being able to have the energy to show up for the things and the people in the way that I want to show up. But in order to do that, I need to make sure that I'm getting enough rest, I'm getting, you know, my steps in, I'm having at least 30 to 45 minutes of cardio, you know, a day, and all of that jazz, which I did not realize that trying to be successful at work, trying to be a good friend, trying to be a good daughter, trying to date, which that's 86th.
Ghetto.
Because no. And also just trying to lead a healthier lifestyle and make sure you feed yourself on time can be so freaking exhausting.
Yeah, that's a lot to maintain.
What?
Like, a lot.
Like,
a ridiculous amount.
Okay, and then cooking, then you add cooking and cleaning. So I started
outsourcing. Maintaining your household.
I'm just like, yo, it's just me. I can't imagine me trying to maintain a household with kids. And, well, y'all know I don't really want children.
Listen,
like that,
I don't know how y'all do it with kids, especially in a panty.
In a whole pandemic. And then we have a new variant. And, you know, it's been a little crazy. But for me, all in all, like, I'm doing what I need to do. I put on my big girl panties and I'm doing what I need to do to grow the hell up.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's been a lot of times where I made excuses for things and I say, oh, this year I really want to get serious about it. This year I really want to get serious about it. And I'm like, you know what? I look at my trajectory, and when I'm really serious about something, I make it happen. Look at my career trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the amount of times I said I wanted to move somewhere and did it. Like, anytime I say I really want to do something, I do it. So I had to look inward, and I said, okay, if you want to lead a healthier lifestyle, if you say you want to lose weight, why is it not happening? So I really wasn't committed to the process.
That's real as fuck.
I really wasn't committed to the process. I like the idea of losing weight, but then I had an attachment to what my body looks like in the current, because I've been in this body my entire life. I've been on the bigger side my entire life. So the idea of what will happen and how the world will change as my body changes, because it does, believe it or not, it does. Not because I have more confidence, because my confidence is pretty high for who I am as a person, but it's how the world changes when you go from one subset of what people deem as unattractive or not, you know, alluring to societal standards of beauty, right? So a lot of that was just me being scared of how others would perceive me once I changed. And because I don't like change, I was terrified of that. So instead of actually taking the necessary steps to do what I really wanted to do, I didn't, because I was terrified that I would lose people and friends and relationships and things during the process. Well, I'm here to say it's a new year, it's a new dawn, it's a new day, and fuck y'all.
You just remixed that whole song.
No, I'm just saying, if you change, you change. I don't wish to be perceived. I gotta go out and get it. Like, I just have a battery in my back to accomplish my goals in a way that I've never, like, had it before. And I wasn't expecting to go so deep on the show so early, but that's just where we at. Like, I just...
That was gems, though. There were a lot of gems in there. I appreciate that. I appreciate the vulnerability.
It's like, yeah, I guess like I said, if I got something on my chest, I'm gonna get it off me. Like, it's just one of those things where, like, I never before have I been this zeroed in to the things that I want to do. Like, clear eyes, very focused on the end goal. And I can't wait to see it. And instead of being more obsessed with the end goal, I'm actually excited for the process for once.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there's so much beauty in the process that we run away from.
For sure.
As opposed to, like, just taking it all in and being present. So I'm excited for this new year. Not even because I'm trying to be a new person. I'm trying to be the same person. I'm just trying to elevate.
Yeah.
More than I've ever done before. And that's good. That's a beautiful place to be in. You know what they call that. That's growth. Speaking of growth.
Speaking of.
We have to talk about one of our favorite shows, Saying Goodbye.
I can't believe, like, this show is over already. Like, so we're talking about Insecure, first of all.
Yeah, not our show.
Right.
Our show is still alive and kicking, even though we've been gone for a minute.
We still here. No, Insecure. So Insecure wrapped up their fifth season and wrapped up the show in general. A few people were upset with the ending. I didn't quite mind it.
Okay, so spoiler alert, if you have not seen Insecure, if you're not seeing the ending of Insecure, we are about to talk about the show. So,
and if you ain't seen it, hurry up.
At this point, you late. Okay.
Shout out to some of my homegirls who ain't finished yet.
As Fergie said, we're so 2008, you so 2008.
I'm dead.
Get it together, because you got somewhere to go.
Just skip over this part.
Yeah.
No, but essentially, yeah, I can't believe it's over. When Insecure began, I was entering into my adulthood after undergrad, which is crazy because it's felt like a gazillion years since then.
Yeah.
I've been through, like, at least two lifetimes since then. It's been a lot.
Yes.
And I felt like Insecure helped me define what I wanted to do, what I was curious about, and what I absolutely did not feel the pressure to encounter necessarily. And I shed some tears. Like, I was full. I actually didn't shed tears during the last episode, but during the documentary and, like, realizing how much this show pushed forward the culture, how much this show made us think about things in, like, a tangible way and not necessarily, I don't know, just, like, putting our lives on display and helping me realize that everybody goes through shit like this. It's not just me. I think that definitely made me feel a little bit closer to my homegirls, I remember all those wind downs we had watching the show and watching that documentary. Yeah, it made me shed some tears. I was like, damn.
And shout outs to the Dunes. There's so many insecure related moments I can remember within our friend group.
Yeah.
Like, there was a time where we had one of the first snowstorms in Seattle, and Monty and I went downstairs from the condo we were renting and decided to make a very, very weird looking snow angel. And she took a photo. Well, I took the photo of her. And Jay Ellis randomly commented on it one time and was like,
oh, yeah.
And I was in the midst of Insecure because, like, shoot, I think we had just had, like, a, earlier that year, we just had, like, a watch party. Because I know that we would always, even if the episode was live, if we all couldn't get together, we would wait and get together and drink our wine from Trader Joe's and watch it. And there's just so many coming of age moments because it was, like, as we were growing post-grad, so was Issa and the rest of the cast, and it was so relatable. And not too often do you have the ability to grow along a show, right? So we saw Issa's growth from not really knowing what she wanted to do and trying to figure it out to finally being more secure in who she is as a person and being able to recognize what her gifts are. And I think that's awesome because so many shows just show you the finished product and a person being at the top of their craft and being revered and being the person that they fear. And I'm talking about, like, the How to Get Away with Murders and the Scandals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Two leading black actresses, but they were the top of the craft. They were the bosses. Far too often, we don't get to just be a hot mess regular trying to figure out life and trying to figure out where we fit in this grand scheme of things on this floating rock, right? And we got to see that in Issa. We got to see her try things. We got to see her fail. We got to see her fall straight on her ass. We got
dead
to
ass.
See her, like, be awkward in dating and trying to figure out what she was going to do after leaving a relationship where she was comfortable.
Right.
You know, and then in the process of that, we got to see her grow alongside her girlfriends. We got to see Lawrence act a fool and attempt to grow.
He did it in a very
in the end he did what he needed
straight
to do.
Black male way
in a very 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 cishet black male way
like
but you know I just one thing I can say at the end of the episode of the series it made me so emotional because I was just like wow I'm so grateful for my girls. Like, I literally don't know.
My sis was tweeting her feelings.
I would be without my friends. Like, it was truly an era I will never forget. We would sit crowd around your TV over in West Seattle to watch this show. We all lived in the same place, especially the I Hate Slavery
yes.
moment.
Oh, my God.
The show within the show. We rewatched that little snip like maybe 30 times one night because it was just laughing. It was so, you know. But the one, okay, so I have a question for you. What is the biggest lesson from the last episode that you think that you gathered from it?
Boy, she dropped that line about the only person that was holding me back was myself. That's, I think everybody can relate to that.
Yeah.
Like, I am in the midst of that, to be completely vulnerable. Like, that is me. And I can't, it gives me, that's why I'm like, I love this show the most for putting those things on display and letting me know that this is something that everybody is going through, like a variation of everybody is going through shit like this. And like for me, yeah, I'm holding myself back from shit. And
yeah.
I think that her at least voicing that gets me that much closer to like being able to internalize that and hopefully make a change. And I think the new year has reinvigorated that in me. But, like, yeah, that part where she was, like, you know, I just had to, like, try shit and figure out where I was going to land. Like, that shit is real as hell.
Yeah, and normalize not knowing what the hell you want to do. Like, there is no rule book for life. There's no right way or wrong way to do this shit. The only thing that's wrong is, like, I don't know, murdering somebody or something. But
yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that. But, like, there's no right.
Even if they do deserve
it. Okay, yeah. There's no right or wrong way when it comes to life. And I think that's what I really liked about Insecure. And even earlier, I just touched on me being in my own way from reaching a goal that I wanted to reach.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to really take the time to understand why I was doing it. And it was because I was afraid of how other people would perceive me once I changed.
That's right? Real.
Like, I was afraid for the people that have been in my life forever, how much of my relationships are going to change and how much of my relationships are rooted based on the fact that I don't like myself.
Yeah, right, who you are in this moment. That's real. I think that's an integral part of being in relationship with people, though, that you have to realize that people will change.
Yeah.
Especially with romantic relationships, I think that's the number one thing that makes them fail. Not money, not, you know, values even sometimes, but mostly, who are you going to be? Are you still going to love me through my changes?
Right.
Like, you always read those, well, I always read those quotes about how the people who stay together the longest, they're talking about, like, I have been with, like, multiple people in this same person because they've changed so much.
Yeah.
That's the same thing with all different types of relationships, friendships, sisterhood, all of that. Like, people change, and it's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah.
And your relationships change along with it, the dynamics of your relationship, and sometimes it hurts and it's hard to go through, but I think that is for the better in the end, if it's making you a better person. And if people can still rock with you through that, I think that shit is deep. Like, that's why I cherish our friendship so much, you know, and our sisterhood with all of our other sisters. Like, it's deep. Like,
yeah,
you allow... That I was just telling my therapist, actually, about this. Like, friendship to me, like, the deepest friendships that I have is because the people that I am closest to allow me to be who I am and see me through that change.
In the moment.
Yeah.
And after the moment. It's like, I can tell you, the people that we were when we first became pen pals, Lord, that's a phrase trying to say, but that we're not those people anymore.
No.
Right? And true friendship, true relationship, true love allows you to give space to the other person and allow them to grow and thrive in who they are. Right? Ego would love for us to be able to put people in a box and tell people what's good for them,
mm-hmm.
and all this other stuff, but people gotta figure it out for themselves, and you just gotta be along for the ride. Because the person that I was when I met you, girl, the judgmental little angry girl, she's not here no more. Now, sometimes I do be judging. And sometimes I do be angry, but not simultaneously.
We working on it.
Okay. But it's a lot different than it was before. And I will say, like, my friendship with you and with our friends has given me the grace to grow and really mold myself into the woman that I want to be, and that's a beautiful thing. One thing that I got from Insecure that I think came from the last episode is the notion that things only have to make sense to you.
Yeah.
To everyone else, right? Because
absolutely.
I do believe in the redemptive power of forgiveness. I do believe that there's not too much that people can bounce back from. I do believe, like, in a moment, somebody can very well not be the person that you need, but who's to say in the future, once they learn and grow, and once you learn and grow, you might come back together, you might not.
Right.
So I never want to put myself in a box and say, oh, absolutely not, something doesn't work, unless they do something, like, I don't know, that they do something to my family or physically harm someone. Of course, we all have our absolute non-negotiables,
our boundaries,
and our boundaries when it comes to things like that. But the notion that when we're in relationship with people and we fall out or there's a break in the relationship, and if we decide to try things again in the future after some time or after some space or after the ability to grow, it only has to make sense to me and the person that's in the situation. It doesn't have to make sense to our friends. It doesn't have to make sense to anyone else. As long as it's healthy and I'm happy and I get what I need, that
mm-hmm.
is what it needs to be. And by all means, if you an ex, do not think that you're a green light to try to come back.
She said, don't run it back.
Don't try to spin the block.
Don't spin the block.
We're not spinning the block on exes, okay? Like, that's not what I'm saying.
Leave us alone.
I'm saying sometimes we look to our friends for validation, right?
Yeah.
In situations. And that's good. That's okay. But at the end of the day, like data. You collect multiple data points.
Yeah.
And you take a sum of those points, and you don't always let the data guide the decision. Because the data says yes, I'm saying yes. You can take into account the data and then make a decision based on how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to make sense to the people that you ask the feedback from. And if you care that deeply about how you're being perceived, you have to question who these people are in your life that you would care so much that they would judge you based on a decision.
And at the end of the day, I mean, I like what you said, like, if you feel like it's healthy, mm-hmm. and you are happy and content, that's all that the people around you should want.
Exactly. Exactly.
And the people that care for you should want.
And I tell friends all the time who go through breakups, and I feel like we've had this conversation before. I always say, no is never final. No is never final. You never know what's going to happen in the future. How many times have we seen, like, people's parents get divorced, and then 20 years later, they run it back, spin a block, and get remarried after they've done the work and realize who they are as people, and they've grown into different places. And I'm not saying spin a block on your ex in 30 years. I'm not. I'm saying nothing is ever final. The only thing is final is when you close your eyes for that final time and you go to meet Jesus.
Right.
That's the only
thing. The only thing that's constant is change.
Right. So it's like, with change and growth, who are we to say that somebody who may have not been able to meet you where you were one time or the other may not be able to in the future. And one person who you consider an arch nemesis can be a friend in the future.
That's like three of my friends.
you just never know. Because it's like at different phases of life, we require different things.
Right.
The level of friendship and autonomy and time and commitment that I required at 18 is not the same level at 29, almost 30 years old.
No. And it shouldn't be. To a certain extent, I think that you have your core values, right? Mm-hmm. And you have your core, like, who you are inherently. And then there are things that are consistently changing as you grow older. And I think that's fine. You know, that's life, the ebb and flow of life.
And one of the writers from Insecure, Pinterest Penny, I think that's her name, but she said that the idea is that they wanted to show that love is a choice and it only needs to make sense to you. Everyone's story is different. And I think that's so true. I think that's so true. And then the notion that in the last episode, Issa looking in the mirror and not seeing her reflection back, rapping, or seeing her reflection back, like, saying things
second guessing herself,
is the notion that she went from being insecure to finally being secure in who she is as a person, secure in her love, secure in her life, secure in her relationships, and secure in her wants and needs. And that's the goal. The goal is to move from insecure, or move from certain attachment styles to a secure attachment style. So I think that if anything, like, it just models how I want to grow, right? Because I want to move to be in a secure state of being, meaning not second guessing myself, meaning having a secure attachment style and not doing the fearful avoidant crap that I do to people when they get close to me. So it's like one of those things where I'm like, okay, this is a coming of age story about a group of friends trying to figure out this thing called life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's beautiful.
I love it.
I will say my favorite insecure moment out of all insecure moments would definitely have to be when Daniel tried to take Issa's eye out.
Boy, okay. No, let's talk about this for real, because here's the thing. If you take the risk of putting your face down there, sis, you got to be ready for the consequences.
You got to be ready to duck, girl. Okay? You got to pay attention.
Because that's not something, especially in the moment, that a lot of dudes can control. I'm just saying.
Her
reaction was ridiculous to me.
Yeah.
Like, it was like he intentionally put his dick in her face. That's not how that happened.
Not, yeah, I just, so I feel like that was like a gold insecure moment that I will never forget. And then Thug Yoda.
Oh.
We'll never forget Thug Yoda in the Bouch.
Yes.
Like, I will never forget Thug Yoda. And then Kelly.
They said Benekmi.
Benekmi. And then Kelly at Coachella.
Oh, my God.
Remember Me Different. We'll never forget. Those are my
Top
three. And I think I say Remember Me Different just about once a week. Or you know what that's called? Growth. Like, literally, it's in our episode promo. Like, we're very much insecure girls, okay? This is an insecure.
That's my show. I'm going to run it back.
Yeah, I'm going to have to spin a block on that.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to spin a block on it.
It's a classic. I'm so grateful to their entire production and Issa and all of the actors just for giving us that. We needed that. Especially in this time. They had no idea that a pandemic was going to hit like this. They had no idea our economy was going to be like this. For all the shit that's going on, I'm really grateful that we have that to put in our catalog. Like, I think that's a blessing.
And, like, ending the year, beginning the year, one of the most important things to me is sisterhood. Like,
yeah,
I'm so grateful.
Absolutely.
For sisterhood. I'm so grateful for the women that I have in my life. I'm so grateful for the space that you hold for me and the space that I hold for you. And like, I was a little sentimental during Secure. I was tweeting out my feelings. There was a lot of I love yous. And I was crying because I truly do believe that your girlfriends can be your soulmates, because I believe you can have more than one, right? It's just a different level. And I do believe that Issa and Molly are soulmates. What? Are you dumb? They're soulmates. Of course she's in love. She has the love of her life. She's married to Lawrence or engaged. But she also has that love in Molly.
Yeah.
And we've seen their relationship break down. We see them rebuild. We saw how they show up for one another. And give space to that. Give space for that. Prioritize your girls a little bit more. And don't be so quick to write them off because they do something that upsets you. Give it some space and then deal with it like adults. Okay, we grown. It's hard to keep making new friends once you get close.
Listen,
to
it's so hard. But, and it's hard to maintain relationships as well.
Yes.
But I think it's worth it. Like, you need people.
You need people. You do. It is a lonely life if you go through this life by yourself and you go through this life with the armor up and afraid of people getting too close to you.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. I'm not saying, you know, be a spiritual whore and just allow everybody access to you.
Right.
We've seen the quote that says, like, it's poor hygiene to give everyone spiritual access to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
But don't be so afraid. They ain't the ones that hurt you, okay?
Right. And honestly, how you grow, this can be seen as a little toxic, but honestly, hurt makes you grow.
It does.
So you can't be afraid to encounter that or experience that.
I'm telling you. When things were good, okay, things were good. The moments where I actually learned was through heartache, through rejection.
Adversity.
Through adversity and this is definitely not no trauma point.
Right, it's not a plug for go put yourself through trauma.
So don't put yourself through trauma thinking, oh, I'm a diamond in the rough and I want to come out unscathed. No, sis, don't go seek the trauma. Just, if it happens, just know that in the end, right, you're going to learn from it.
That's what we saw.
That's what we got from the show. And I just liked how it mirrored life. And when I think about when Insecure started, I lived in Seattle. I was broke. I had a roommate. I was in a dead-end job that I hated, starting my career in tech, trying to figure it out. You know, didn't know how I was going for happy hour, but I was there, and we was there, and we was doing what we needed to do.
At the
end of Insecure, I'm going into my 30s. I have a career. I'm financially stable. I'm where I want to be. I'm doing exactly what I said I wanted to do, even with people telling me I wasn't technical enough to do it. I didn't know enough to do it. I'm still here. I'm working at one of the most technical companies in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm literally creating a new business. So it's like, when I think about the growth of the show and the milestones within the show, I also can see the growth and the milestones within my life. That's why it's kind of bittersweet to let it go. But moving forward, I'm moving more into a more secure me as well.
I love that for you.
And that's beautiful. And so are you, because I see it in you too, like the growth. Because you made some moves in the last 5 years. You have.
Yeah.
I mean, you walked away from some situations. You did some unconventional things. And I feel like you are now beginning the journey of like being where you want to be. And it's a journey. It takes time. And it's been beautiful to witness that.
Likewise, sis.
Aw, I love you.
Love you too.
So, Insecure didn't go off without a hitch because y'all was talking crap about Issa on Twitter. And I do want to address this real quick.
Lord, why y'all have to do this?
Can we just have things?
Nah, we can't have nice things. Never.
Like, what? Okay, so can someone please explain to me what her growing up not struggling has to do with her success?
Why we gotta have a sob story for everybody who ends up being successful? And y'all mad because sis got a leg up? I'm confused.
But how did she get a leg up is what I'm saying.
She made moves.
What I'm saying is, just because somebody's mom is a pediatrician and they grew up not in housing projects or not whatever you deem should be the classic Black American story, does not mean that their journey to success is unscathed or doesn't have pitfalls or anything like that.
It doesn't make it any less great.
It doesn't invalidate the journey.
Yeah.
Okay, like
the original tweet that set all of this off, like, she was like, I don't understand why y'all are acting like Issa is so spectacular. That's basically what she said.
She came from privilege.
Right. And so my thing is like, okay, so what's your argument that we shouldn't celebrate people reaching success in some way, or we shouldn't celebrate people's milestones just because they came from shit?
I just want to let y'all know, I don't know if you noticed, doctors don't make as much as y'all think.
Well, nobody makes as much as anybody thinks.
Especially pediatricians in California that have 3 children.
Oh, no.
I just want to put that out there. And it's no shade to the docs out there, because I know a few of them listen. But I'm saying doctors don't make as much as y'all think they do. It costs
especially
a lot
with all
to
them
live.
School loans.
Yeah, especially when you think about the debt-to-income ratio of the average physician. Like, y'all got to chill out with that. Like, and then on top of all of that, like, it's okay for your parents to create a safe and secure lifestyle for you so you can go off and chase your dreams and go off and do what you need to do, right? That's what they're supposed to do. So if your parents weren't in a position to put you in that situation, it's okay, right? That's your life, but you don't have to crap on somebody else whose parents better equipped them to face the world because that was their focus.
And maintain a launch pad and safe space for them to come back to, because I think that a lot of people get crap too for being able to go back to their parents' house, right? After
yeah,
they failed or anything like that.
Oh, I got that. And we're going to get personal. Once I say I got some ish on my chest, I'll get it off. When I left Seattle, I didn't have a job. I left Seattle because I was mentally depleted. I was depressed. I was tired of living the lifestyle I was living out there, and I hated my life. Like, I literally hated my life. So I quit my job, and I moved back to North Carolina to live with my mom while I found another one. And I say this because not once had I ever did anything like that where I didn't have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just need the platform, but I did not have a plan, baby girl. Like, I had no plan. I landed on my feet because of my network. If it wasn't for my network, I would not have come out unscathed like that, because not too many people can quit a job, move across the country, and within 3 months have a job at a top consulting firm.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I recognize the privilege in my network, right? But at the end of the day, my mother created it. A landing pad for me to be able to come back to when I failed, because that's what she didn't have, and she wanted to make sure that as a parent, regardless of where I am in this world and what I'm doing, I still have a place that I can come back to when the world is tough and when things fail. And it does. It happens. It fails. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to tell you that years later, I'm good. And I think that's why I move with a different level of fear, or not. I don't even want to say fear, because I don't really think I even have it anymore when it comes to making moves. Because once you completely abandon life and build another one, mm-hmm. there's nothing else to be afraid of.
Yeah.
And so I say all that to say, like, it's okay for your parents to create a safe space for you. And if they didn't, it's okay to move through the process of that trauma and that situation of not being able to be given that. But it's not okay to project that trauma and that anger and disappointment onto other people, because your situation is the issue that you have with your parents for not creating that space for you, and you're projecting that onto Issa
and downplaying what
Issa represents. Because mm-hmm. it's like, when you say this about Issa, you're also saying this about someone else who may come from a good background and is successful. But you're like, oh, they didn't have to work for it. You still have to do the work. When you're black, you still have to do the work.
Right, and I don't think that there's any harm caused by us celebrating what Issa has been able to dream up and make into reality.
And let's be clear, Issa started by posting grainy videos on YouTube.
Right.
She wasn't just handed no HBO deal. Because I remember being in my dorm and watching those shows.
Same.
Awkward Black Girl. Then when she had her network, and she had what? Roomy Lover Friends and everything else.
Boy, that shit went hard too.
Okay, like Hello Cupid.
Yeah.
Like all of those shows with people who are now on major networks. Yeah. Ashley Blaine, she's now on Dear White People. She was on mm-hmm. the network. So what we're not about to do is sit here and downplay hard work, because
I mean, that's how you move up in the industry too. And so I think it's like maybe a lack of knowledge about how that works. And how much work it takes, mm-hmm. like, and being able to connect to those heavy hitters like Prentice Prinny, or what's his name? Yeah, I think it's Prentice Prinny. The showrunner, essentially, yeah. on Insecure, who was able to take Issa under his wing. And so for me, like, I don't know. I'm just like, I hate to see the hate. I hate to see people try to downplay other people, because we're not talking about, you know, the Kardashians or Kylie Jenner.
Now that is
and self-made billionaire bullshit and, you know, things like that. We talking about, you know, Issa moved through the ranks to be able to make Insecure, and Insecure clearly made an imprint on our culture.
Yeah.
You cannot deny that.
And she also stressed multiple times during interviews about how she networked across and not above,
mm-hmm.
right? So the people that were on her show on Awkward Black Girl, when it turned into Insecure, ended up being characters on Insecure.
Yep.
Thug Yoda, he was definitely yep. in Awkward Black Girl, and I believe they knew each other from Stanford, because he went to Stanford, and I think he studied engineering. If I'm correct. So it's like you gotta chill on that. And so whoever was doing that, I just had to get that off my chest, because that was annoying. It was like, we having this moment, and then hear y'all are talking some she there's nothing spectacular there. Yes, she created something out of nothing. And what we not about to do is sit here and try to downplay that just because her mother had the audacity to seek higher education and create a life for her kids. What? Girl, if you don't go talk to that lady and get some healing from your relationship with your parents.
Go talk to the lady
and stop projecting all of that onto us. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I think that's the main two things that I had to get off my chest. And I also just wanted to say rest in peace to Betty White.
Betty.
Thank you for being a friend. I love Golden Girls. That is my show. Okay? I need y'all to understand.
Literally.
That show, even at my big age, I still watch it. It is so funny. Like, and Betty White's comedic timing, her greatness, her relevance, even at 99 years old prior to her passing. Mm-hmm. And we won't ever see that again. Okay? Especially from those girls. We won't ever see that again. So I just wanted to acknowledge that. Rest in peace to Sydney Poitier.
Yeah, that's crazy.
As hell. We just found out that he passed. And, I don't know, it's been weird. Mm. The last thing that I wanted to discuss, and just like that. How are we feeling about the show
this far? It's giving me heartburn.
It's giving me secondhand embarrassment, because the last thing I wanted to do is watch Charlotte be an overly emotional
best friend.
Social climber.
Yeah.
Best friend.
Black social climber.
And then Miranda be a Karen trying to unlearn literally Karen-ness, because let's be real, there was nothing Karen about Miranda before.
Thank you.
She was the only cast member who dated a black man and didn't try to
fetishize him.
A big deal that he was black. She actually liked him. Yes. Because she liked him and not because he was black. Whereas Samantha put on hoops and was
talking about homegirl
to his sister.
And tried to fight his sister.
So I'm confused as to how we got there. Just like,
oh my gosh.
Miranda was the most technically savvy out of the crew, being a revolutionary, owning a BlackBerry, and always up on the most up-to-date technology.
A high power lawyer.
High power attorney. And now you mean to tell me she frail and don't know how to work technology? Like, nah, fam. I don't think they got the same writers, or they think that we stupid. And I understand the idea of coming of age stories, because it's very important to show aging in a way, and dating and maintaining relationships with friends in a way, because far too often we don't see that, and we haven't seen that since Golden Girls, really.
Right.
But, however, comma, girl.
I just feel like in keeping with the premise of the show, why can't they still be these same phenomenal women?
Right. Why does Miranda have to be a Karen?
I struggle with that. I'm like, yes, I get it. Like, we need to see that failure, so to speak, in a way. But also, like, she doing a lot. Like, I don't know if I want to see that.
It's almost like these...
I'm going to be real.
We're seeing the demise of the character.
Yeah.
It's not enjoyable. Like, I keep watching, and I'm just like...
Even Stanford. They even did Stanford wrong.
Because Stanford was so...
He was queen until the end.
Rude. And I'm like, okay. And then his character, he passed away in real life. So that's the last moments that we have, is with him being this way. And that's not who he was. Yes, he was always kind of stuck up, but Stanford always made sense.
He always had a good heart, I felt like.
Had a good heart. Whereas this portrayal of him was just, like, problematic and not it. All the way to how he treated Big Secretary at that funeral.
Like, it was
the
awful.
The whole thing just was very off-putting for me. Not to mention, in the season finale, there was supposed to be a big cameo, I guess maybe in a flashback, and they actually removed it due to the most recent allegations against Chris Noth. But there's been allegations about Chris Noth since he was on Law and
Right.
Order. I mean, Beverly Johnson was one of the accusers back in the 80s. So if y'all really care that much in the grand scheme of things, why are we just making moves? He was the headliner on a show called The Good Wife, which is about a politician who cheated on his wife with a call girl, multiple hookers. Why didn't this come out then? Like, he was on that show for like 6 or 7 years. Why didn't this... So I just have so many, like, it's like and there were allegations, and the allegations were like front page of the New York Post, front page of the New York Times, but it wasn't pulled then. So I find it interesting that all of these things just happened at once. It got pulled. And not to mention, in addition to being on this show, he's definitely on The Equalizer with Queen Latifah every week.
Really?
Yes. He plays a CIA agent.
Bruh.
So it's like, it's a lot. I don't enjoy the show. I don't get the same excitement feeling about the show. If anything, it's like y'all are trying too hard to be politically correct and politically relevant.
Yeah, it's like literally just perusing Twitter for an hour and being like, okay, these are all the themes for this season.
It's like this show is going from leading the culture and conversation to trying to follow cultural trends to be relevant. And that,
y'all need to switch up the writer's room. That's all I can say.
Yeah, nah, switch it up. Maybe hire some people from Insecure to help you out. That's all I'm saying. But okay, I think that's what I had on, and just like that, because I had to get that off my chest. It's really been bothering me. The last thing I wanted to ask, what would be your greatest lesson of 2021?
I think being confident in the boundaries I set. I think that I definitely worked on that in 2021, and actually I'm pretty happy with the results, not gonna lie. And so I just want to continue that into this new year and beyond, making sure that I'm true to yourself first. Being able to maintain my boundaries and feel very like 10 toes down in them.
Yes.
And not worried about how people are going to react to them. I think that's the continuance that I'm carrying over. Like, I was able to set the boundaries last year. Okay, now how do I stay strong in them?
Yes.
And make sure that I don't let people make me waver.
Yeah. That's a deep one.
It's going to be rough, but...
It was real.
This y'all PSA, so...
Okay, she said, run up, get done up. That's what my homegirl said. So mine would be, never romanticize someone else to the point of betraying yourself.
That's real.
It ain't.
The potential ain't potentialing.
Yeah. You know that song Summer Walker had where she like, you got potential. No, you don't.
Oh, Lord.
You don't have potential. You got potential to break my heart. You got potential to be broke. You got potential to have erectile dysfunction. But you do not have potential to be in my space any longer.
Oh, Lord.
Because this is where we are with it. No, like, I'm just at a point where I realize that a part of me, especially in the dating sense, will put so much emphasis on the other person and am I good enough for this person? With my body type, am I good enough for this person? Would they like me? Is my personality too off-putting for this person? And not once have I ever asked, is this person even worthy of me?
Right.
You know, I guess being raised the way I was, it was always the focus on other people and making sure that they were comfortable with who I am, instead of asking myself, do I even want to be here amongst this people, amongst this space, in this energy?
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, the shift towards the end of the year was, it's okay to change your mind. You don't got to live this life, and you ain't got to be around these people, and you ain't got to do any of this shit that you've been doing. You get to decide who you want in your space.
Mm-hmm.
And don't betray yourself because you have put someone on a pedestal who hadn't done the necessary steps to even be there in the first place.
Word.
So that's the lesson that I learned in 2021 that I'm carrying, and how that's materializing in 2022 is me going after the things that I want to do, not caring about how I'm being perceived by people, and me giving myself the grace to try things, to fail, to live, to learn, and to just be in the moment. And I think that's a beautiful place to be in.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So, outro.
Well, y'all, it's a new year, same me, so I'm back with the sustainability tips.
Yes, ma'am.
I want to challenge everyone to set a reminder. At least you could start out every quarter. I have one for every, I want to say, 3 weeks, to buy something sustainable, mm-hmm. whether that's something I need around the house, whether it's a new outfit that I would like, it needs to be sustainable. But that is my challenge to everybody, to be able to go out, look for those brands. There's lots of different avenues that you could search for brands that might be able to make things upcycling fabrics or being able to utilize trash essentially to make new clothes. There's a lot out there. So, and there might be a blog on the way that gives you some insight as well. I don't know. Maybe look out for it, possibly.
She's basically saying she might be starting a blog, but she didn't want to commit to it because she don't want y'all to be looking
for it. It's very casual.
Unless, you know, it's basically kind of like how Lauryn Hill be like, I'm coming, but she ain't going to tell you when because she don't want you to
period
commit to, like, waiting for her to come. But anyway, with that being said, being the person that I am, I look to affirm you in life. So this week's affirmation is, I am eager to move forward with my goals. I'm eager to get activated. Now is my time to make an impact. I believe that whatever you want to do in this season, you can do. Okay? Like, there's that quote that says, whether you think you can or you can't, you're right. So why not choose the things that you want to do? And don't be afraid to fail. Fail fast, learn from it, and redirect that energy into whatever it is that you want to do the second time, whether it's the same thing or if it's deciding to try something new. Okay, there is the idea and the notion from Brené Brown that nobody can judge you that's not in the arena. So get in the arena and do what you need to do. Well, anyone who's a spectator has it, if they say anything to you crazy, they really can't because they're not in it. They're not in the trenches. They're not chasing their goals. They're too busy worrying about you.
They're not outside.
They're not outside. Okay? And we outside. I mean, but we inside.
Proverbially.
Because we got masks on.
Boy, we're not outside. Go inside.
Go inside. But go inside and go after your goals and go after your dreams. And if anybody wants to, like, say anything negative to you about, oh, new year, new you, no. New year, same me. Just chasing
new goals.
Yeah, just new goals.
Bigger goals.
Okay. Bigger goals. Because we trying to elevate, period. So, Happy New Year. We're so glad to be back with you on a more frequent basis. And we look forward to sharing more of our lives and our journeys and our stories with you by way of this podcast. And yeah, like, it's just so good to be back. It's so good to be in the space with my sis. And I look forward to what this year is going to bring, not only for us, but for you, our listeners.
Yeah.
So yeah.
See y'all later.
Bye. Just wanna be, just wanna be, just wanna be. Don't give up on me. I need a touch like you.